Some people consider love to be as vital to life as air and water. And yet so many are dying of thirst, while others can't even breathe. 5D presents Is It Love? A podcast where questions are answered and treasures discovered. And we are live. So welcome to Is It Love? Episode 1, a podcast that helps people find their way through the maze of love and relationships, if you will. This is episode 1, and our topic is what love is and isn't. But before we get started with that, let me introduce myself and our co-host. My name's Drew, and I am a relationship counselor. And in the red corner, we have Jenny. Jenny, take a moment, introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jenny, and I am a professional psychic, energy worker, and relationship coach.
See, we're qualified. Okay, and we're going to talk about today what love is and isn't. Because you think you know what love is, but maybe our definitions need just a little bit of tweaking. So, Jenny, I've heard people say that they love their pets, love their cars, love a good meal, and even love walking in the rain. But are these really forms of love?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they're absolutely forms of love. When we think about what it feels like to love somebody, it's an energy. It's not a thing or a situation or a it's not sectioned off. It's large, wide open frequency. Like Nikola Tesla would say, the world or the universe is more of a frequency as opposed to a physical solid thing. So I think there's so many forms of love, just like there's so many different forms of expression of energy. Some love has a bit of hate in it. Some love has a bit of anger. But yeah, I think that those are forms of love. But I wanted to bring up a little topic about that. I am in all these groups on Facebook, and it's very entertaining, and I love to study people, so it's helpful. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will say, you don't know love until you have a child. And I'm like, okay, I can see that the caliber might change of when that person didn't have a kid and when they did have a kid, and the responsibility and the amount of time you'd spend with this child will make it feel like it's the epitome of love, and it's the heightened space, which could very well be the case for that individual. But I say that people could love their dog as much as someone loves their child, or love their partner, or
sometimes
their family,
more.
Or their... I'm sorry?
Sometimes even more than they love their dog. Some people are abusive to their children.
Yeah. Well, I think that what happens for humans is dogs are easier to deal with generally than a human. Another human has complex emotions that likely are going to collide at some point with ours. And the dog, you know, they pee on the floor and that's about the size of it. Or maybe it gets out of the fence and, you know, you have to deal with some things and maybe some health stuff, but not as dogs just generally aren't as complex as humans and the needs that humans need. And of course we talk. So, yeah, I think it would be easier. And you hear people say it all the time. I love animals more than I love humans because it's generally easier to love an animal than another human. But of course, none of it's per se easy. This is all a tricky dimension we've decided to incarnate into.
Yeah. It seems like a tricky answer to a tricky question. I mean, people, so you're not in love if you never had a child. I don't know. You can be in love, and that love can manifest in a child. And who wants to go to a hospital after carrying something inside them for 9 months and give birth to a dog? Anyway, yeah, pets are easy. Dogs, people are definitely more complex than pets. So, since these are all forms of love, and it makes sense because I do love walking in the rain, but is that different from romantic or relationship love?
Yeah, I mean, different calibers and spaces and experiences. It depends on the person, of course, but I would say that one of the most complex spaces to learn about love would be in an intimate romantic relationship. Of course, there are many others that are important and beneficial. But when you think about it, you know, you raise your kids for 20-ish years, depending, and you are generally, if all things go well, in a relationship for upwards of 50, 60 years. You see people having these big anniversaries, 50 years. That's a significant amount of time to spend every day with or most days with. Mm-hmm. So inside of the romantic relationship, there is going to be more depth, more complexity than maybe being a caretaker for a dog or a family member. Of course, there's going to be love. It's just different frequencies and different different energies of love. It's being expressed differently. And you can learn inside all of those spaces. But I do find that big learning will come inside of intimate relationships simply because we're going to trigger each other. That's the design of putting two egos together under a roof, is to see where the triggers are so that you know where you can work on things. Yeah. And with a dog, you might have to work out maybe like a routine or something of that nature. Or with a kid, work out a routine, and that routine might change and what have you. But it's usually some more of a functionality as opposed to an integrated energy, like I would call an intimate relationship. And of course, you integrate with your children and there's deep space there. But with an intimate relationship, it's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, love is love. You love your pet, you love your stuff, you love people. Just different frequencies, I guess.
Yeah, good word. Yeah, so, I can dig that.
I mean, some people let their pet sleep in the bed with them, but I don't want to sleep with my dog. I like my girlfriend. But, romantic love, you know, you think about, I'll take a bullet for you. You know, that's why. I believe that's why guys walk on the outside of the sidewalk when you're walking, the side toward the street. I think it originated from the roaring 20s when the guys would ride in those cars and do drive-bys and, you know, couldn't aim worth the shit, and they, you know, hit everything. So the guy would stand on that side, so if the bullets flew, it would hit the guy instead of the woman. I guess that's chivalry. Or silliness, but it's a sacrifice. You're willing to sacrifice for, you know, your romantic partner sometimes. Do you think sacrifice is necessary for romantic love? Let's talk about romantic love, because people want to know, you know, why am I not having success in romantic love? So let's talk about that one. Is sacrifice part of it, and what else is part of it?
Well, sacrifice is a pretty heavy word, and one might want to use it. That's fine. I would say more compromise, because oftentimes, depending on the situation, you may be asked to drop something, let something go. But if it's really important to you and it's not dangerous to other people or yourself or illegal, more of a compromise is a better space. For example, when people get married, men say, oh, can't go to guys' night anymore. Well, why? Why is 2 hours so big of a deal that you have to cut that out? Well, you're a married man and you're just supposed to take care of your family. You take care of your family better when you get a little downtime from your family and your 40 to 50 hour a week job. So I feel like, yeah, sacrifice might not be, and it is required sometimes, but it might not be as healthy as one might think. Again, depending on the situation.
So let's just use better words. Let's say, instead of sacrifice, let's say sometimes I have to shift my priorities, you know, instead of, you know, in order to compromise, can't get my way all the time. So some things I might have to let go of, or just reduce the amount of time and energy I put into it. So no more weekend trips to the strip club and bar with my buddies. Might have to postpone the strip club part indefinitely to make my partner happy.
Just take her with you. Take your partner with you. There's an event, a date night, if she's down.
Whoops. Yeah, if she's down. So compromise, I agree. Compromise is critical in order to have a relationship. So if you have a relationship dynamic where the man is the boss, you know, I have to use my manly voice, the boss. So and the woman has to just kind of comply with the man's directives in order to keep him happy, that's probably not an ideal arrangement, you think?
No, the power dynamics are way off, and one person becomes the lord and the other the slave. And these situations and dynamics are never healthy. Look back in time when the kings ate, you know, roasted duck while the peasants starved. I mean, this is just not healthy, even though ego, the one that's being the patriarchal kind of energy, ego is like a drug. It's very addictive. When you get inside of it, you want more and more of it. And it's, you know, you can see it in our politics. You can see it in Hollywood. You can see it everywhere. But no, it's very unhealthy and it's very patriarchal. And I do believe we are cracking that. We're kind of coming in and shifting some of the patriarchal stances, because that dynamic that you just said, the man's the boss, that was status quo for centuries. Now it's being shifted. And this is why I think there's so many difficulties in relationships. As we watched our parents either struggle or have an unhealthy dynamic or unbalanced or what have you. And then that's all we have to learn from, besides movies, which isn't much, and maybe some close family members. But you go into life not really knowing a good balance, not knowing the healthy equilibrium for a relationship. Very commonly, the man's like, well, I'm not going to do any of the housework. I'll mow the lawn. That is not a good trade. Women, do not take that trade. I've been in business since I've been 12. I'm 43. That is a shit trade. No one would spend nearly, if you have a farm, that's a good trade. If you have a functioning farm where the guy makes a living off it, that's the trade. Because there's no way that doing dishes, putting them away, planning meals, buying groceries, cleaning the house, managing the functionality of that is an equal trade. And women have been told this is equal.
You're shattering illusions right now. You're killing people right now, because the ego... You know, it seems like the ego was behind creating this whole patriarchal arrangement.
Oh, for sure.
You know, men want to stay in power. And, you know, you've been programmed. Television, hey, this is a woman's role. This is the gender roles. And it's good that we're challenging those today. Also, you know, as a female, which I'm not, you want to keep your man happy. So you do these things. And then something is not right. Something is, you know, missing in the woman. Something not fulfilled. You know, maybe it's that sense of fair play. This ain't fair. I'm out here working too now. So you try harder. Now you ironing clothes and ironing socks and folding, doing everything. And you still come up with the big L. The relationship ends, but you tried your very best. So, you know, what's a woman to do?
Well, women are dating men that don't have high emotional intelligence. EQ is what they call it. So what we're doing as women is we're going in and thinking the more subservient or the more good, so to speak, parentheses, quotation marks, of a wife that we are, they'll love us more. No, that is an imbalance. What is he doing to impress you? What is he doing beyond going to work, which he would do with a wife or not, or a relationship or not, to balance it out? So the dynamics have been, women have been emotionally utilized to their maximum, physically, meaning their womb as well as their bodies. And it's an imbalance. And so this is why the patriarchy is a crack, because it's just getting too top heavy and women are just not standing for it anymore. People are like, oh, what happened to marriage? Divorce is high as ever. Like back in the day, grandma and grandpa stayed married. Grandma couldn't have a banking account. That's why grandma stayed with grandpa or whatever. Things are changing so significantly. And this is where we're kind of in that crossfire where men want to be in relationships, but they've watched their dad often put very little effort into a relationship, and they think the woman should just keep giving them the support, the energy, without in return giving them any. Now, there's a lot of men out there who are very supportive, and I want to applaud them because they do exist. We're talking about, well, relationships fail right at the second, and that's often one of them amongst a million other reasons. So, yeah, we're basically... you know, in a crossfire of men putting their ego down to say, I do dishes too. I keep the floor clean too. I support my wife's career or hobbies or whatever too. And now we're dealing with a balanced relationship that can go further than prior dynamics, which is the woman will cook and clean till she's dead and the man will retire at 65 and sit and hang until that happens.
She better keep cooking after she's dead. She better send me some DoorDash from heaven. So I agree. And I also think that I think that men get bored of women who just fall into that role of subservience. I think men get bored. And I haven't heard anybody say it, and I never talked about it before, but as I listened to you, it just kind of jumped into my head, because think about it. In the very origins of the relationship, the woo stage, when I'm wooing you, right? I'm coming at you, and I'm bringing offerings and gifts, and I'm trying hard to earn your trust and to, you know, make time with you, and you're, you know, the queen, and you're like, we are not amused with pizza. We would rather have something else. So the men try to jump through hoops, so to speak, to please the woman and to attract her into this relationship. And then we get the relationship, we get married, and suddenly I don't have to do anything to impress you or to win you over, because I got you now. You're like my dog. My dog's not going to run away because I didn't play with him for a week. That dog's there like furniture. I can count on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it does make sense, and that happens all the time. And I really think that most men think that they're getting a housekeeper and a cook for a lifetime. I feel like they've harnessed us, and this is the patriarchy, harnessing us into basically domestic slaves, where women, if they decide to have children, are having children in the time that they're most productive in their career and getting their foot lodged into that. So what happens is women will sacrifice. And this is where I do think some sacrifice comes in a relationship, when quite often when a kid is present. And it's wonderful to sacrifice and move things around so that the child can have a healthy dynamic, and it's required. But I think that women really, they basically want a more balanced existence, and I think it just hasn't been balanced. And I think that we are coming to a point of in which it's teetering over. But most of the time, I think that women are trying to keep up with what their mother did and plus more. So I think that the dynamic has gotten where women are the emotional caretakers. They often work full time. They clean the house, they cook the meals, they go to the store to buy all the food that's required to make all these meals, and often keep track of doctor's appointments and stuff like this. And they want to have friends. So I think this is the rise of autoimmune disorders in women, where we really have to just balance it out a little bit better.
Yeah. And I mean, the expectation, it seems like it would be really difficult to navigate life to find a healthy space where the examples, you know, the expectations are pulling at you. Well, it's a good woman, you know, and this is what love is about. It's about, or this is what love isn't. It isn't about just throwing your whole life away in order to be somebody's cook and caretaker. And it's so unhealthy, like you said, physical issues, trying to spread yourself too thin. And your man's leaving you because he's bored after you've done all this and bent over backwards to keep this love environment. It's boring now because there's not much of a challenge, you know. What do I have to do? You're here. You're not going anywhere. So, you know, maybe there's some instinct to chase and to conquer, but it doesn't exist in this relationship. So I'm out here, you know, unconsciously looking for something to chase and conquer. That probably doesn't speak for all men, but it speaks for a lot of men who are doing all this cheating and, you know, having these side pieces and just flat out leaving their home for something, you know, that could be very, very fleeting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So does that make sense to you?
I've been looking at the institution of marriage and how healthy it is and isn't, and or the relationship dynamic of monogamy. What happens is society has been crucial in pushing us into only monogamy. So then everyone's pushed into it. And then if they have problems inside of that, they will shame them for having problems inside of that, as opposed to just opening up the door of something like polyamory or something of this nature, or open relationships. Depends on the relationship, of course, but society doesn't want you to think that there's another way, because if you can open up dynamics in relationship, you can open up dynamics in politics and church, and they are afraid of that. So I think marriage might be more of a hindrance than it is of a help, because what you have are people staying in relationships because there's kids or their codependency is so high that they can't get out of the relationship, and then they go cheat. That is not a functioning situation under the guise of a nuclear family working together. Mm-hmm. That is a very dysfunctional space. With just a bit of truth and patience and honesty, the person cheating could say, hey, this isn't working for me. I'm going to have to step away from this. But usually they like to have their cake and eat it too. So they want their mommy at home, and then they want their side piece on the side. This is playing into the patriarchy, and women who stay in these situations, God has blessed them, but I give them strength and energy daily to move away from this space. And women usually have a codependency because they got three kids or more or less that they have to care for, and to make any big moves or spontaneous moves is almost impossible, especially if there's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I think the dynamics of masculine and feminine are just crumbling like crazy, and I'm so glad for it. Because what we're seeing is it doesn't function anymore. Back in the day, back in like the 20s and 30s and even up to now, very often if a man cheated and a woman was happy in her situation, she didn't say anything. You know, she didn't really want to have sex with him. She just let him do what he wanted to do, as long as that house and was paid for and the car was in the garage and the food was on the table, or the money was there for the food. That was a woman just settling, because the alternative was divorce, which was you get shunned by your community and you don't have any skills. Even if you did go to college, you might not have any experience because you had a baby right out of college or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
So this is not balanced. And this is why I often will be talking about relationships, doing my readings on relationships, doing my coaching on relationships, because it's what needs to be managed. This is a big fight. We have lots of fires on this planet to manage, but this is a big one, which is the dynamics of relationships and the functionality and the health of them. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I was going to say, this is laying the foundation to answer the question. Is it love? Is what you're doing, is it really love? Is it healthy? Because love seems like it would be healthy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of the concepts that you introduce, like alternatives to monogamy, you kind of have to be open-minded based on your programming. You have to be willing to consider things that you hadn't considered before. And with an open mind, the possibilities become endless. And that's what we want you to bring to this show as a listener, is an open mind. Consider what we're, the information we're providing, consider reevaluating your relationship, because what you're doing, although you may have the best intentions, it may be working against you. You may actually be, signing the death warrant to this relationship that you have. And I like the point that you brought up about women not saying anything. Just be quiet. Just go along to get along, And I think that contributed to I don't want to call it a stereotype, but it was back in the day, not far, long time ago, women weren't having orgasms. Women were having sex, but they weren't getting theirs. And that wasn't really that uncommon, because, hey, jump up and down and stick a feather in my ear, because that's what's turning me on. It's like women just kind of rolled with it and took it for what it's worth. And, men, hey, I got mine. I'm satisfied. Be quiet. So I don't know. That's my spin on it. And I ask you, what do you think? Because we can disagree. You might represent a different point of view that some of the listeners may have. Because, you know, everybody doesn't agree with me.
Well, you know, on Facebook, I have a page that has 25,000 followers, and it's called Whore Magic. And you can find me there, and we post all kinds of shit posting, and it's all kinds of fun. We also have a podcast on the same network called Whore Magic, where my astrologer friend speaks astrologically, and she's also anti-establishment, so she's super fun. But what I've noticed is I wanted to bring a lot. It came into me often. The energy was coming to me to put energy around sexuality in general, but definitely sexuality around feminine. Because what happens is just what you said. Until recently, orgasm just wasn't attainable for women because, again, we're coming into the man's needs, what he wants, what's easiest for him, what has been. And also, you know, men are all terrible. They just haven't been exposed to the fluctuation of this. If they bulk against it and start getting mad about it, yeah, they're probably low-level human or what have you, but most men just simply haven't been broached on this. We can't hate someone for not even being broached. So the fact that women are speaking up and breaking that stereotype and breaking that cycle of not having orgasms and speaking about it and being more open about it, and because, you know, very commonly men would be very attracted to whores but marry a good girl to have babies with. Well, a woman can be a whore and a Madonna and be both and wear both caps if she's comfortable. If she's comfortable, if she can break through societal expectations and pressures and things of this nature. But it takes time and it takes work, and it's a process. But no, I feel like inside of an orgasm is where we can manifest the most anything. Peace.
I'll pay your bills.
If you harness it well and you put some effort behind your manifestations, absolutely, it's like one of the best manifestation skills in the world. And I'm also a channel professionally, so I channel past loved ones and entities and aliens and all of the sort. But very commonly, I will get entities speaking to me about what it feels like to be in the non-physical. So after we drop our body, we go back to what I think is called the non-physical, because it's nothing physical. And the way that they can explain it the best is they say, imagine a human orgasm times 100,000. That's what it feels like to be where you come from. And I'm like, well, that's something to look forward to. Why the hell do we come slumming here? And they say things like, well, you come to learn and put yourself in situations with amnesia so you can move past it. And I'm like, biggest video game created life. But so inside of what we call the human orgasm, I think we can feel and taste and touch where we come from, the non-physical, or people call it heaven. You can call it whatever you want. Words are futile compared to what it is.
Yeah, heaven on earth. Thank you very much. Yeah, and so as we approach the final couple minutes of our 30-minute podcast, I want to say that we're just scratching the surface, just scratching it. In our future episodes, we'll go deeper into these topics. We covered quite a bit in this one episode, but we did it just scratching the surface. We're going to go very deep. We're going to explore these concepts, get you really brought up to speed, and we'll be answering questions from our listeners about their relationship experiences and challenges. But most of all, we'll share with you our GPS to healthy love. So before we go, what do I want to do? I want to say, if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider liking. It really helps us a lot in bringing you this content. And you can visit our Facebook group. It's called 5D. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, we have 5D Presents page, as well as 5D Presents private group. Actually, it's a public group. And then we have that as well over at Instagram, 5D Presents. It's a collective of healers, including Drew and myself, and we do events and podcasts and retreats and sessions and all sorts of things. So go ahead and follow us over there. And I believe you can get a link to this podcast on my website, 5dpresents.com.
5D, that's the number 5 and the letter D, presents. And I guess that'll do it from Jenny and me. We wish you love. Although love can sometimes be challenging and make you feel even hopeless, there is a way. There's a roadmap. There's a way to hedge your bets and give you the best chance at finding the love that you're looking for. This is It Love? Tune in to our next episode.